En mörk oändlig Ingmar.
Welcome to Views from the World Tree. On this week's show, we channel our inner Fred Rogers and ask the question, won't you be my neighbor? And now on with the show.
Yes, I see. Good news, everyone!
All right, so for weekly news, my reading update, I have discovered a new genre, or subgenre, I suppose, that the person who made the TikTok that I was watching, the TikTok video, described it as cozy fantasy. Basically, it is this genre that is definitely fantasy, but without all of the like high stakes and super in-depth world building that like your Tolkien or your Sanderson, Jordan, stuff like that. And specifically, I was reading a book this week called Legends and Lattes. So it is a story about an orc who was a adventurer / mercenary in almost like a Dungeons and Dragons setting. And she decided to retire and open up a cafe in this city that's set in this fantasy world. And so it's kind of more just relaxing. It's definitely not a YA book, but if you're looking for something that's just kind of easy reading, that doesn't have a lot of different story arcs, just kind of a pleasant, cozy read, then I would definitely recommend that. And then the other bit of reading news I have is there's kind of a holy grail among, I don't know what you would call them, book enthusiasts, whatever, to read 100 books in a year. And I've always kind of toyed around with that idea. I've never actually made the goal to do it, but I decided that in 2023, I am setting the goal to read 100 different books. Some of them are rereads. I plan on rereading a few popular series that I enjoy, including Lord of the Rings, Stormlight Archive, and a few others. I will tweet out a link to the full list that I have compiled on Goodreads, so that anybody that's out there that's listening, you'll be able to see what I'm reading this year. As far as what I've been watching and playing, still playing a lot of World of Warcraft, really enjoying the expansion. I haven't jumped into any raiding or anything. I may look into doing that, may not, just depends on if I want to take the time. And then we watched a movie, I believe we watched it on the 26th, so it would have been just after the last episode aired, called Violent Night, which was David Harbour plays Santa Claus, and there's a family that gets kidnapped and held hostage, and so Santa has to go and save the day. This was a really fun movie, very funny, very well done, very violent.
Yes, it was definitely violent. Kind of it's the grown-up version of Home Alone is kind of how I saw it. Like just a little bit more violent version of how would you solve, you know, the different problems.
Yeah. So it was really funny. It's definitely rated R. So again, you can decide if that's the kind of thing you're interested in. We watched it on iTunes. It may be available on other platforms. I didn't take the time to look that up. And then as far as actual news, I found a really cool article. There's a dog that has collected more than 1,000 littered plastic bottles. So Yvonne Faulkner Grant and her husband David Grant noticed something unusual about their dog Scruff last year while they were out walking in their town of Nuneaton in central England. Their 13-year-old border collie had always enjoyed fetching sticks, but the Grants stopped throwing them after a vet said that they might leave cuts inside of Scruff's mouth. Border Collies, if you know anything about them, are natural working dogs and love to play fetch. So she and her husband were happy when their dog started picking up discarded plastic bottles in fields, parks, and streets around town. He would see a bottle that somebody had tossed out. He'd go pick it up, play with it for a minute, and then drop it. And so they would praise him. He'd go look for another one, and he started to collect these plastic bottles. And after a while, they started feeling bad about these like piles of plastic bottles they were leaving, even though they weren't theirs. And so they started bringing along a cloth sack on their walks, and they would start collecting these bottles that their dog picked up. And so they decided it would be fun to kind of document all of the litter that their dog has been picked up, and they've started collecting it in their backyard, and they estimate that the dog has collected over 1,000 plastic bottles. So
that's awesome. I think maybe we should look at teaching our dogs to do that.
That would be cool. Definitely a way to put that herding instinct to good use. So that, yeah, that was my news. What about you? How's your week?
My week has been pretty simple, other than celebrating holidays and spending time with friends and hanging out. So I'm still working on Mistborn 3, the third one, and so working on that series. And then as far as watching and playing, I'm also still playing WoW, still working on those achievements and trying to just work through the storyline that just really is taking this much time to, you know, it's amazing how much content there is in that game and just how you can really focus on whatever aspect you want. If you want to have more of like the name implies the World of Warcraft, you can go fight battles all day long, or you can, you know, be a craftsman and focus on hunting and resourcing your materials so that you can create your items for other people to use. And so it's really been fun to explore the different play styles and figure out what it is that I enjoy.
Yeah, this expansion has been really great. They've really gotten back to some of those. I don't want to necessarily say simpler, because they've definitely added a lot of nuance to things, but kind of the more classical elements of the game with like the adventuring and the role playing. Like at least when I've been playing it, I really feel like I'm an adventurer that's in this like foreign land and going through and just the writing on the different storylines and stuff has been very impressive. So I think they did a really good job.
Yeah, so that's mostly what I've been playing. We did have a chance to have some friends over to play some board games, and it was awesome to see them again and hang out with them. And we were able to play Wingspan, which is a newer board game, but it has quickly gained a lot of popularity. And it was originally developed by a lady named Elizabeth Hargrave. And she was playing games with her friends and really like noticed that, you know, you've got these different games with like Renaissance aspects and all these other like fantasy aspects. But she was like, there should be some games that are related to what we're really interested in. And she herself is really interested in birding. And so she actually like went through and created this game. So she wasn't like some fancy game designer. She just is another fellow board gamer who created an amazing game. Like the mechanics of it are very well thought out and the artwork on it is incredible. She really, I saw that she had partnered with but she got a lot of her data from, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. And so she was able to get a lot of accurate data on the birds, and you use that data to help you plan your preserve. So it's pretty fun game and definitely worth taking the time to look at the artwork.
Nice. Yeah, agreed. Lots of really cool paintings and stuff. If you've ever looked at the field guide for birds and stuff, some of the illustrated ones, the Sibley bird book in particular, the art is kind of indicative of that style. All right. Anything else this week?
Nope, that's about all I got.
Okay. Well, last week when we had talked about what to discuss for this episode, you had mentioned that one of the things that you've always been interested in and that has kind of been weighing on your mind is just like community involvement and like relationships with neighbors, and how it seems like friendships with neighbors have kind of decreased substantially from when you and I were younger. And so we decided it would be cool to kind of take a look at that and see why that is, and maybe some things that we can do to try and further those relationships with our neighbors and in our communities. So to start out with on that, we should probably look at the definition of a community. So in your mind, what is a community as it relates to this discussion tonight?
So that's what's tricky about it, is it does feel like community can be a different definition for different things. But a couple of the main definitions are either a group of people who are living in the same place and have particular characteristics that are in the same, or it can even just be a group of people who have a similar attitude or a similar belief. And so I think a little bit more tonight is thinking more about that geographic community and the people that are actually like living in the same area as you, but also that broader idea as well of who you connect with and who is a part of your life.
It's like shared interests and connections.
Yeah. So one of the things I found while I was reading more about this and trying to understand this idea was from David Spangler. He said, some people think they are in community, but they're only in proximity. True community requires commitment and openness. It is a willingness to extend yourself to encounter and know the other. So I think that's the big difference between even the word neighborhood or neighbor and community, is that there are a lot of people you live by, or there's people you live with, but the people that we're kind of talking about tonight are the people that you dedicate your life to, that you make some sort of commitment to really like be open and include them.
Okay. Sounds good. So now that we have kind of defined that, moving forward, one thing that I've noticed is that in today's world, like I mentioned, your like geographical neighbors, and especially us recently having moved, I feel like we don't really have those connections. And we've done a few things to try and like reach out and foster those. We could probably do more, but I also feel like we've reached out more than people have reached out to us. But at the same time, I feel like I have much deeper connections with people that live like much further away. We talked about World of Warcraft, and I have a lot of friends that I've played that game with that I know more about their lives than I do the people that literally live next door. I can hear their kids playing, and yet I don't know their kids' names, but people that live like over in Florida and in New York, I've seen like photos of weddings and new babies and stuff like that. So, in your research, what did you learn about these different levels of community or different levels of relationships?
So I came across an article from a group called Voice of America, and they had an article called "Are Communities Vanishing?" And we'll have the link to that article in the show notes. But it referenced a book, and so I apologize because I didn't read the full book yet. But the information they shared in the article, because I do prefer to get primary sources, but in this case, I'm just going from the information from the article. He wrote a book called The Vanishing Neighbor, and he's looking at how American communities are changing. And he kind of identified that there's three levels of relationships. He said, we've got our inner ring, which is our family and close friends. And then our middle ring, which is more casual relationships. So those are the ones that we'd probably call more acquaintances. And the people could be your neighbors. It could be the barber that you go to. It could be the parent teacher association. It could be a bowling group that you're in, or, you know, whatever it might be, but it's still, some sort of connection that you have with them, but it's more of a casual relationship.
So still like geographically close, but emotionally more distant than like your actual family and friend. It sounds like that's what he's describing here is, you know, still people that are geographically local, but emotionally maybe not someone you would consider a friend.
Yeah. I think it's partly because when he's looking at that idea of community, he is really focusing on that local community. Because then he says the outer ring is people you might include who are far away, but have a common interest and can be easily connected to through social media or other technology. So that may be in your example where your World of Warcraft friends fit in.
Gotcha.
But it's a fine line because you might have a couple of your friends who you do consider close friends and some of them who would fit more in the outer ring. And so I feel like the middle ring is more that, I mean, really, the rings itself doesn't fully matter. It's just, I really liked the idea that he was getting at that, you know, we've got our inner circle that is our close family and friends. We've got a group of people who are people we know, who we recognize, we say hi to on the street. We have other more, you know, in-depth conversations with, but we don't necessarily socialize with them. We don't necessarily hang out with them. And then you've got the people who live on the other side of the country and you connect and talk with them and interact with them, but they don't impact your physical activities per se.
Okay.
So as I was kind of looking at this idea of communities and what is it that really develops communities, I think a lot of it comes back to the human-to-human relationships. And he had a quote that he said, it's in the absence of having human-to-human relationships through the middle range with someone who voted for the other candidate in 2016 that you begin to really be alienated from people who voted for the other side. So I thought this was an interesting idea that we could kind of pause and talk about for a minute and think about what is the benefit of having your inner circle and the outer circle, and what happens when that middle ring starts shrinking? Because that's what I feel like we're losing a lot of these days. And I think the reason this topic really stuck out to me was because it like you mentioned, we recently moved to a new community. And so I'm more aware of what I'm missing from my old community and what I'm looking for in my current community. And that's the area that we are missing, is that middle area, because we have us in our household, and then we have our friends who live close by, and we have our family that we can reach out to, but they're not here. And so that's something that is changing for a lot of people, not just for us.
Yeah, agreed. I know that there's probably a few different factors that contribute to that. I know for us, part of it is we moved from a very, like, I don't know, not very, but a more geographically dense community, right? It was a gated community. Everybody was in townhomes, so that you literally had multiple units in the same building. Not like an apartment complex, only three or four per building, but. And, you know, shared driveways, and there was a much closer knit, just because you did see those people more often, right? You kind of those forced interactions. There's like a community pool and a gym and stuff, as opposed to where we live now, which is not only in, like, you know, single family suburban homes, but we also kind of intentionally picked one that's like way up in the corner, kind of more isolated. It's not on a through street. And so I think that's part of it, but I also do think that there's more of a societal thing, whether that's because of increased isolation the last few years or some of the echo chambers on like social media, like you were saying from this quote. I think it serves to highlight those differences rather than highlighting the things that we have in common. But that's just my thought. What do you think about it?
Well, looking through some of the data that was referenced in some of the articles I found it was really interesting to see kind of some spikes that changed after the pandemic of, you know, a lot more people were indicating that they never interact with their neighbors. And I think some of that comes from directly from the fact that we were told not to. We were told to stay 6 feet away. And sorry, speaking of coughing and pandemic, just a normal cough. A lot of people got used to that idea of staying 6 feet apart, being away from each other. We got to only go out if it's necessary. But on the flip side, one of the things we saw in education, and I think we saw everywhere, was an increased development of communication tools through technology. And so in the last couple of years, we have been able to take that outer ring that was not really accessible. People weren't super comfortable with always having video chats or like, you know, it just wasn't like a super comfortable thing. You just generally called somebody if you wanted to talk to them. But now in the era of Zoom and Google Duo and FaceTime, you know, we have all of these resources to take those people who are living anywhere in the world and bring them right back in our houses. And so that network becomes back in that inner ring. And the more, it was a phenomenon that I feel like I saw in college, looking at, there was many times where I got frustrated with people because I was staying in on campus, and so not living on campus, but like staying in the area on the weekends. But some of my close friends would go home to their families on the weekends. And I always just got so frustrated because they were gone, they weren't there. And it wasn't that I like envied their families. Like, I had a great family that I could go home and visit. I just wasn't able to go home every week because I didn't own my own vehicle. So I had to, you know, find rides and coordinate things. But what I noticed was that through my college years, which happened to be also coincide with those years where cell phones really started to become ubiquitous and where everybody was starting to have their own cell phones. And so text messaging became more common and it became a lot easier to stay connected with people that we knew. And so I noticed that, to me, that's kind of when some of this decline kind of started, because why create new relationships if I can just call my friend who already knows all my history, who already has, you know, or my family who knows all my history to talk about what's going on, you know? And so I feel like that's one of the reasons why we're seeing a lot of that diminishing middle ring is because we are able to keep a larger inner ring, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. I'm sure the rings kind of overlap. It's also been interesting to me because with the pandemic obviously kind of forced a lot of people into these like video conferencing technologies and stuff like that. Whereas myself, as you know, a techie and a gamer and somebody who dabbled in like online game streaming and YouTube videos, like I've always been comfortable being on video, which is weird because I'm very introverted, but like I remember long before you and I met, I was working in IT and I was on my lunch break and I was on a video call and my boss was like, afterwards he was pulled me aside and he was like, just like, not reprimanding you, but like, I'm not comfortable with you being on a video call on your cell phone at work. And I mean, when I say this was a long time ago, this was a long time ago. This was like 15 years ago. I remember thinking like, okay, like, but you know, he was a bit older than me and kind of a weird thing for him. And I guess at the time, video chatting over the internet probably had a not safe for work connotation, which wasn't, it wasn't that at all, but it's just interesting to me watching what feels like everybody else catching up to technologies like Slack and Discord and FaceTime even. I mean, we finally got your family all tech savvy enough that we can have like group FaceTime calls. So it's just been kind of interesting to me, but that's kind of just a side tangent. So we can go ahead and move on.
Well, I mean, the reality is that community is about connection. It's about being connected with people and knowing who you are and who they are and how that works to help. And so it's healthy for us and not just our neighbors. Like it's healthy for everyone because we get a chance to like help other people and learn who they are and what other people might need. And so there's been, I feel like there's so many different ways we experience community. And I love how you pointed out, like, you feel like that pandemic shift kind of helped bring the world up to where you were. Cause I agree. I was very much like a tech savvy person. I knew how to do face, you know, video chats and, but there was still something that was, really like nerve-wracking about it. Like it just felt very like it made me nervous, you know, and just like, well, what's my background? Where am I at? Like, you know, just very like concerned about what I was, how I was using it. And now it's just so common to stay in touch with people and, you know, between the FaceTime and things like even on different social media platforms. I remember, you know, back when I first joined, you know, social media, it was just for college kids and it was just connecting with the people that I knew from college. Mm-hmm. And I remember my first like wave of like friends that I tried to find on there was all like people that I went to high school with. And so it was like finding random people that even people that I didn't really hang out with or socialize in high school, but there was something about that connection. Being able to say, hey, we went to the same high school, we went, you know, and being able to maintain that connection. And so I feel like social media and technology kind of are a blessing and a curse. It's kind of a catch 22. It's so amazing to be able to maintain a community with your family, and with friends that you develop great relationships with. But at the same time, sometimes we spend all of our time and our efforts with people who aren't close by because our time gets filled up. And so we don't spend the time to develop the relationships with our neighbors. And so I think that's, you kind of alluded to that at the beginning that, you know, we had made a couple efforts to kind of reach out with some neighbors and try and get to know neighbors, but haven't really felt that same reciprocal mm-hmm. Feeling from them. And that a lot of that could be, I mean, I don't know what their, you know, life is like. Like, do they have a lot of family in the area? Do they have, you know, do they have other parts of their circles that are mm-hmm. full for them? And
sure. Well, and I think in our case, that's like, I want to be clear that I'm not attributing malice to our neighbors. Like we yeah, have great neighbors.
Wonderful people. They are wonderful people.
And I know that they do both have local inner circles, like was referred to earlier, because we see like their kids and their, you know, aunts and uncles come and visit and stuff. And so that's very much, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said their circles are full.
Yeah. Well, when you look, sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead and finish your.
No, you're fine.
I was thinking, you know, we have another neighbor that's in our neighborhood who used social media, more a one of the websites like Nextdoor, mm-hmm. where it's more focused on connecting your neighbors. And she was moving into the neighborhood and reached out to say, hey, I'm here, like, you know, looking to get to know people in the area. And one, I can tell you her name, like, I can tell you things about her. And my next door neighbors, or the neighbors that are closer that we've tried to make other connections with, I still mix up their names and things because there hasn't been that same openness there. You know, there needs to be a little bit of that reciprocal connection and desire from the other part. Like, it, you can't just force yourself on other people.
Right.
That's not going to create a community. To create a community, you have to have both sides wanting to be a part of it and to develop that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think so. Also, something that just came to mind while you were talking, I do value the relationships that we have with all of our neighbors that we do have relationships with. And I know that our one neighbors, there is a bit of a language barrier. They, you know, the parents don't speak English. The kids do. Luckily, you and I both are fairly fluent in Spanish. And I think that really helped them have a little bit more of a connection when they first moved here. And I'm sure that's something that they value, even though with all of the family they have locally, you know, it may not be something that needs to go beyond that for them. But that is still something of a benefit that we were able to provide them. So they do have connection. They do have somebody that's literally right next door. They know they can come and, you know, if they need help with something, you know, they can send their kids over for fundraisers and things like that. But then with the neighbor down the street, even though they, you know, they are fairly close geographically, like you said, we did meet through social media. We found out that we do have a lot in common. And so I feel like that's kind of led to that more meaningful connection where, you know, things more readily come to mind, like name and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, and it's definitely along that lines, that connection, because it goes, what I was getting at too, that I don't think I quite finished that thought on was, you know, that she was reaching out for connections. She was looking for people to connect to and wanting to be in a place where they have those connections. And I think that's one of the really important parts, is being open to people around us, people who are different, people who might not have the same political beliefs or religious beliefs, and being able to find, you know, how can we help each other? Because there is a lot of convenience in people who are close by.
Sure,
and so it makes it easier to help each other. And
yeah, if you leave the stove on, it's easier to call your next door neighbor than your friends, you know, 20 miles over. So,
yeah, absolutely. Like, that's what I feel like our society is losing with communities. Like, that's what's been on my mind, is that we're losing that sense of who's around us. And, you know, I mean, when we were growing up, there was things like the neighborhood safe watch and, you know, like, where you would watch out for what was going on and, mm-hmm. and noticing who was people you know and people you don't. And, you know, I think that could be, you know, just my personal, like, opinion, you know, here, but, like, that could be why there's increasing crime rates, you know, because I don't know if, you know, Joe out here who's walking out front is supposed to be there or not. Like, but, you know, back when I was a kid, like, we knew all of our neighbors. We knew, you know, when somebody was not normally there.
Yeah.
And so we're able to watch out for each other better when we know who they are and can help them out. And there's a lot of resources. I think that's another part of communities that can be an advantage, is when you can utilize resources with each other. That's one of the things I appreciate about, you know, the friends that we have that live close by, who were able to, you know, hey, can we borrow your chainsaw? Can we borrow, you know, or, you know, we loan things back to them, and, you know, just being able to give and take instead of buying everything just for ourselves. And And so I think that's something that can be a huge benefit of if we can re-energize this idea of community, is building back in the model of being able to smile and wave at your neighbors. And, you know, like I remember, this one wasn't as long ago, but like, it was a small city. It was about 3,000 people, but like every now and then when I was driving in the city, you would find two cars just stopped in the middle of the road and the drivers talking to each other, you know, and you weren't frustrated about it. Like sometimes you could get a little annoyed, but like, depending on the road, you would just go around them and let them continue having their conversation. And but it just, I feel like those are experiences that I want for us to have going forward. And I want for like, you know, kids someday to like grow up in a world where they know the people around them and not feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of different ways that we can, you know, bring that in. Some of it, like I said, is just getting to know your neighbors. So, you know, different things can be like, you know, one things I've loved is just taking cookies to my neighbors, mm-hmm. And taking some treats over and just saying, hey, you know, this is one way to like, tell you I want to be interactive, you know, I want to interact with you. And going back to what you were saying about the community that we lived in before, that was more of a close-knit, like gated community, you know, they would host little parties and things. And I think those are, you can either create those things for your neighborhood and give opportunities for your neighbors to get to know each other. Or you can even look for your local community. You can look at the traditions and activities and things that are growing on in your community to find people who have similar interests.
Yeah. One resource that I wasn't really aware of, I didn't realize just how much is out there and how much of a resource a local community college can be to people who are not students. So we had an issue with, and I didn't put this in the notes, I apologize, it just kind of popped in my head, but we had an issue with one of our birch trees in our yard kind of going into decline. And so I was like looking around doing research. I reached out to a few arborists and they were like, yeah, we'll come and look at it. And we'll give you a quote to cut it down for free. But if you want us to actually diagnose it, it's going to be like, I think it was like $380 minimum in addition to supplies and like tests and things. And so I was like, well, like I can't afford that. You know, I'm a millennial who just bought their first house at the worst possible time in history to buy a house. And so I was looking around and I came across, the local U of I, University of Idaho, has an extension nearby and they have this Master Gardener program and they will come and like, look at your yard, your tree.
Will you take your stuff to the thing first?
Yeah. So we took a sample in, they looked at it and they sent out a group of people, basically. They were all like, just most of them were retired members of the community who had experience and had gone through these like courses and stuff. And they came out, they looked at the tree, they gave like recommendations and stuff, and it didn't cost us anything. And it was really cool. And I was looking, so I've been looking at kind of more what they offer, and they have all kinds of like, resources for like gardening. They'll come and like, look at what land area you have available and look at, how much sunlight you have and things like that and make specific recommendations. And it was a cool experience for me because, as I mentioned, I'm very introverted. And so to have, you know, 5 or 6 total strangers come over to my house was kind of, it made me nervous, but there was that instant connection because we had that common interest of like gardening and, trees and trying to be ecologically responsible, I guess, with how we use our land. And so I had a really good conversation, like much longer than I anticipated, just being able to like talk to a complete stranger for like 45 minutes about something was kind of a new experience for me. And so that would be more of that like middle ring that we were talking about, where, you know, it is somebody who's an acquaintance. It's not necessarily a close friend, but you have that shared interest and they happen to live in the local community.
So with what you were saying about gardening and when we had the gardeners come to our house, you were talking about that exchange of knowledge. And that is definitely one incredible way that communities can help each other, is exchanging that knowledge. But one of the other things I've been thinking about too, and trying to understand more, we had kind of our first year of really running a garden on our own this year. And I know he's mentioned that on the blog before about our gardening experiences. And we got a lot of, you know, we had some produce that we were definitely sharing. We were like, here, have some, because we had too much, mm-hmm. you know. And then we had others that we were like, man, I wish I had this thing, you know, that we had to go get from the store, but could have been something that we had grown. And I think that's something that communities could use to bring together. Like, I would love to reach out to our neighbors and people close by, because again, things are easier when it's close, because traffic is crazy. I don't want to have to drive across town, you know, but like, if we could get to know neighbors and people close by and say, hey, like, I'll grow tomatoes. Why don't you grow onions? Or, you know, it's easier to grow a lot of the same thing, because then you're not trying to remember all the different things you have to do to mm-hmm. take care of it, which is obviously why our society developed to the point where we had farmers who were specializing in growing lots of crops.
Sure.
But we've lost so much cropland mm-hmm. that, you know, it's hard to get some of those local things these days. And so if we can start working with our community, one way to do that and find a reason to connect with others would be through looking at shared gardening experiences. How can I share produce with you? And, you know, it takes a lot of trust. Yeah. But at some point you have to learn to trust other people. And that's part of, you know, building a community, is finding ways to prioritize relationship building and establishing a foundation of what is it that you want your community to be. And I think a lot of those are ways that if we can try to reach out more from our own selves, then we can look at the people who are close by, who have, you know, have need, who are not, you know, who may be feeling lonely or needing more of those connections. But it is a way that we can, again, have those connections with people. Because like you said, it felt was rewarding to be able to say, you know, talk with these master gardeners about a shared topic of interest.
Yeah. And I mean, I really like the idea of shared gardening. And obviously in communities that are a little bit more densely populated than ours, a lot of times people will actually have a community garden where there is a little bit of land. And since nobody really has their own land to grow stuff on, they will take turns, like, you know, cultivating this specific plot of land. In our community, where, you know, people have yards, and us especially having a large backyard, and I've talked about this before, so I won't go into it too much, but you can go back and listen to like literally any episode. I just get so tired of like the grass, the perfectly green grass that people have to have. It's kind of more predominant, I guess, in America than other countries, but it's just such a waste of space. And that, monoculture of, you know, Kentucky bluegrass, tall fescue, whatever, ecologically, it's actually very damaging. And again, you can go back and listen to others. You can Google it, but setting up, you know, an actual garden where you have a variety of different plants in a geographical area has so much benefit, like financially, because you're helping your neighbors out and you're not buying stuff from the grocery store that's having to be transported across the country on trucks. And it's also so beneficial to like local wildlife, insect populations, all of that. So there's really, when you think about ways that you can benefit something and have it synergize, there's really, like, this is really a prime example of something where you set up some system where you're sharing, you know, garden with your neighbors or growing different crops and exchanging them. And it's very uncommon actually to have a situation that can benefit multiple different systems in multiple different ways. And the benefit just stacks and stacks and stacks. And that's why it's something that I'm really passionate about.
Absolutely. I think that's what I feel like is the whole point of talking about community, is that we need to look for how are we helping those around us. And so there kind of is a final wrapping up the talk of community. I found a quote from a person, Yehuda Berg. He said, "A true community is not just about being geographically close to someone or part of the same social web network. It's about feeling connected and responsible for what happens. Humanity is our ultimate community, and everyone plays a crucial role. So I think that's just kind of that thing that I would want to finish on, that thought of communities, is that part of being a community is choosing to be a part of it and taking responsibility for what can I do to make it a better place to live for everyone. And if everyone starts putting that mindset in, then we're going to see improvements, and we're going to see some of that mindfulness coming, or not mindfulness, but see some of that focus coming back on that middle ring of being able to have those acquaintances, having the people, you know, your different connections in the community that you go and see regularly.
Nice. I like it. And with it being, you know, this episode coming out tomorrow on New Year's Day, and everybody setting New Year's resolutions, maybe that's a resolution that you as a listener could make, if that's something you're interested in, is trying to proactively reach out and build that community. I think that's something that I need to do better about, as something that I will try to do in the future. And on the topic of New Year's, and I know that's not the topic of this episode, but since, if you're listening to this when it comes out, since it is New Year's Day, our mindfulness quote this year kind of gets into that a little bit, just with the practice that we have on New Year's of looking at the past year, seeing the things that we accomplished, the things that we wanted to and didn't accomplish, and then setting resolutions for the coming year. I have a quote that like fits right in line with that. And it's from Kung Fu Panda, from Master Oogway, from the turtle. So it's a little bit tongue in cheek, but it also has a really good message. The quote is, "You are too concerned with what was and what will be. There is a saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it is called the present." So when we initially started this podcast and started having these mindfulness segments, one of the things that we talked about was trying to live in the moment. And if you study the topic of mindfulness in general, that's kind of the underlying thing with being mindful, is not really focusing on the past, not focusing on the future. Don't worry about what you need to do, what you should be doing. Just be present in the moment. So I think that quote is kind of a way to bring us back around. And as you're sitting here on New Year's Day, thinking about what you've done the last year, yes, that's, you know, it's good to relive your accomplishments, but try not to focus too much on the things you didn't get done. And again, looking forward, it's great to set goals. That's a proven method of success, but don't overdo it. Like, don't forget to just be present in the moment and look at what you have and be grateful for it.
Yeah. I don't know what else to add other than tie it back to that idea too of the be present in your community too. So since that was our topic, like, be present with the people around you.
There you go. All right. So next week, Steve is still out with the new baby. So one of Chelsea and my shared interests is tabletop and board games. And we've talked about it a little bit on this podcast before, but as you know, we've been off work for a few weeks and playing a little bit more board games, Chelsea and I thought it would be cool to share some of our favorite games and also explain how different categories and genres of board games have kind of come into being. The hobby of tabletop games has really evolved quite a bit since we were kids. So we'll be taking a look at that next week. And we'll see you then.